In this episode of The Standout Job Seeker, I'm going to talk to Alex Pyers about how sourcing is used by recruiters and how you as a job seeker can make sure you're found for jobs that you don't even know about. We also talk a little bit about the new AI features in some of these ATSs. I've seen some concern around this lately, so we'll talk about whether or not you should be worried about that. Now, Alex is the founder of ISC, which is a recruitment firm focused on helping technology companies all over the world. He's also the creator of Workstreams, which is a subscription-based recruitment model. This offers companies a unique integrated approach to talent acquisition. He's been doing this for over 20 years, so he's going to have some important insights to share. I'm looking forward to this interview. Let's move in now to this conversation. Well, Alex, thanks for joining the podcast. You're joining from Portugal, which sounds just so amazing and exotic. How are things over not stateside?
They're fantastic, right? We live in a very remote world, so thankfully there's a fair amount of jobs that allow a person to, you know, reach others on a global basis and not necessarily have to be local.
Nice. And so what do you do? You have a recruiting firm, is that right?
That's true. That is absolutely correct. I started my company been 2001, so I've been doing this for many years. Initially started as a contingency recruitment firm, like many organizations mm-hmm. out there. And then in 2015, you just basically turned the company on its head, created a completely new model, which is more of a subscription-based approach to working with organizations. So it's unique because we get to work with our partners as internal assets. So as internal talent acquisition, vice working as an external, you know, transactional recruiter, you know, getting one placement here and then there, we like to consistently and constantly work with the organizations that we interact with.
Okay. So then, I guess because of that and working with different organizations, you have experience in seeing how recruiting operates across, I'm assuming, like a wide range of fields or niches.
Yes, I think the exposure that we have is unique in the sense where we've been exposed to working as externals, right? And technically where we are, but we also have a deep knowledge as it relates to working as internal talent acquisition as well. As far as our market sectors and verticals, I would say the great majority of the organizations we work with are specifically in the technology space and, you know, software companies.
Okay. Okay. And then, so you're based in Portugal, but are your customers or the companies you work with, are they from a certain region or is it global?
It's global in nature. Okay. So North America, EMEA, and APAC as well.
Okay. So you definitely have a pulse on just general hiring trends. And I know one thing that we were talking about earlier was the idea of sourcing candidates as opposed to just looking at the people who have already applied for a job. And I wanted to dig into that for the job seekers who are listening to this podcast, because I think, you know, traditional job seeking is, you know, we go to the job boards and we apply for a job and that's it. Like, those are the opportunities that we have. But sourcing, it sounds like sourcing is becoming more common or just a really large part of recruiting. Is that, would you say that?
I would say that's true. That's absolutely true. I mean, it's still important to be very active on the job boards and there's a plethora of them out there. So I, you know, certainly don't want to dissuade somebody to be very active there, right? Mm-hmm. That's very important. But I think sourcing is very important for companies because, you know, it really depends on the market that you're working within. When it's a little bit of a slower market, you know, organizations tend to be a little bit more picky because it's a buyer's market. So they tend to get a fair amount of individuals that are applying, and they may not necessarily always be that 100% fit. So I think it's important for a company to have a very dynamic sourcing plans and processes in place, because that's really one of the few ways that you're actually going to be able to go out and find someone who is the most ideal for whatever requirement that you have. And so, you know, sourcing is it's half of what we do, right? Because that you're always trying to be very active in going out there. You know, not only are we looking for just, you know, individuals that are actively entertaining opportunities, and for those people that are active in the job market, it's all about exposure, right? You want to have as the most expansive exposure as you possibly can so that you can be seen, right? That's really important for someone who is actively seeking a position. You know, LinkedIn, unquestionably, that is a method that every company utilizes, right? As far as a platform is concerned, it's, I think it's, you know, some people, there's different opinions here, but some people think it's great to, on your picture, to have the little badge where it says, you know, open to networking or seeking a job or what have you. I think it's important because when talent acquisition staff and people are sourcing, you know, and if they're doing it on Recruiter, you can actually search for that specifically. It'll just cut down your search time by looking for people that are actively looking. So if you have a LinkedIn profile, I think, in my opinion, you should have that on there because it's going to improve the likelihood of individuals kind of reaching out to you. But you also have to think outside of the box as well, aside from LinkedIn, which is, you know, most common. You know, even on other platforms like Instagram or Twitter, even Facebook, right? Make sure you have all of your data updated on all of those platforms. You know, with Instagram, you know, putting out some posts, it's important to put some hashtags out there because I know that I will, you know, utilize Instagram to do some sourcing as well. I'll search by hashtags, I'll search by keywords. And you never know, even with TikTok, it's becoming pretty popular. People putting a video resume out there, you know, 1 minute of just explaining what they do. And you can, it's great because you can see their personality, you can see what they look like, you can see how well they communicate and what have you. You know, don't be scared to put yourself out there because the more exposure that you have, the more, again, the higher the likelihood of someone seeing you. And that's really what it's all about. It's getting your foot in the door. That is the hardest step and stage in finding a job. It's getting that initial kind of attraction.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like, I hear a lot of job seekers say that if I can just get an interview, I know that I can show them my value. And that might be true, but it's also like a lot of that, there's so many people who apply, you might not get an interview. There might be like, you know, 5 or 10 people who are qualified. And so taking the initiative of, you know, okay, if you want to get the interview and get FaceTime, we'll create the FaceTime through content on social. So yeah, I like that idea.
Sure.
Now, would you say, so you mentioned LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just anywhere. Is there one that's used like most often when recruiters are sourcing?
I think that the one that's used the most is really going to be LinkedIn. I think that is because you have just a huge infrastructure there that's in place to have individuals reaching out. So I think LinkedIn is really going to be something that a person really has to focus on, be active on there as well. Don't be scared to, you know, invest some time in going through posts and what have you, or going to companies and profiles and, you know, liking some things for companies that you're interested in or putting comments. Again, it's really about getting yourself out there and potentially getting the attention of some hiring managers or you know, heads of people or talent acquisition or what have you. So it's really about being active and not just, you know, setting yourself up, if you will, on these different platforms so that you can get exposed. It's being active even in different groups as well. If you're a technologist, you know, have a GitHub account, have a Stack Overflow account, or, just so that you can join groups, you know, be involved in projects, and networking is unbelievably important as well. It's not necessarily, you know, sourcing from our perspective, but to some degree it is offhand, because you might be networking or in a group with someone that I'm connected with. And I'm always reaching out to my network and asking them, hey, you know, do you happen to know someone that has this experience or that experience? And, you know, being part of groups, making people aware of your situation and what it is that you're looking for, what it is that you're really good at, is going to allow you to, you know, to increase the likelihood again of getting the attention of the right people.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's kind of like the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I know a lot of people, just from talking to them and doing interviews for this show, that networking was a big part of how they got their job. Not always, but it does come up. And so, you know, you talked about like being active, commenting on posts, or being in different groups. Can you like be specific about does that mean that I'm commenting and saying, hey, are y'all hiring, or I'm looking for a job, or like what would that include?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be that overt. Okay. in relations to that. But if it's an area of interest, again, I'm going to just stick with the technology side. Let's say you're a software engineer and you know, you're following a company that, you know, utilizes a specific stack, or they're working on Web3 or something really interesting and innovative. Right. And you're just basically interested. I mean, you have to be true to yourself and true in what you write as well. So people, when they're reading a comment, they can see if it's overt, you know, if it's kind of right in your face. Hey, can you look at my profile? I'm interested in this job. That may not go over well, but more so being inquisitive, you know, and potentially even asking a question or what have you, or this is super exciting. You know, I'm really interested to see what they do with Virgin, you know, what have you, or something like that, a little bit more passive to some degree. But again, it still will allow you to get a bit more exposure to the people that may come across it.
Okay. So it's like being truly social on social media. So maybe this would be something that you start even before you're looking for a job. But just, you know, interacting with the companies as you would anyone else on social media, and sharing your expertise or getting involved in conversations. And that way you kind of form the relationship. It sounds like that's probably best.
Yeah. Because even myself, as you know, working in recruitment and talent acquisition, I go through, you know, LinkedIn and see posts. And if I even see something that is of interest because it's within an organization that I'm kind of looking at potentially, let's say, you know, air quotes, targeting specific individuals there because they have, you know, really sharp people or what have you, you know, I'll go through some of those posts and see what people are saying. And I may come across that. I might just, you know, see your post and I might click on your profile and look at your dates and see the fact that you're not working right now and think, okay, well, that might be something of interest. You know, let me just reach out and see if, you know, this person is interested in this type of position. But it's really based on the context and of what you write, and because that will come over much better. You know, if you see the people that are very successful on LinkedIn, they tend to be naturally inquisitive. You can tell that they're being genuine in their interest in what they're doing. So I think that's always the best course of action. I mean, you can always go the nuclear route and just say, hey, yeah, exactly. But I think it'll go over better if you go, you know, a little bit softer.
Yeah. So then what role does a person's profile play? Because when we were talking about sourcing from LinkedIn, I was thinking, you know, what should be on their profile and what information, all that, but really it's more of like the social aspect of it. So then what role does their profile play?
Their profile is unbelievably important, right? Because when you're searching for a person, you know, on LinkedIn Recruiter, you're going to be looking for a wide variety of keywords. You're going to be looking for specific companies that a person's working at, or specific schools if it's an entry level position, right? So it's the more information that you have, your LinkedIn profile should be, you know, a version of your resume. if you will, right? It should have as much information that is applicable to what you've done and also applicable to what you want to do as well. So if in the last 2 years you've been doing X, Y, and Z, but you're more interested in Y and Z, then that should really be, you know, it should have more focus on Y and Z than it does on X, right? You want to mention that you've had that experience, obviously, but if what you want to do is Y and Z, then that's really should be the highlights of your profile. So your profile is just an online resume. That is what it is, unquestionably.
Interesting. So yeah, I've heard the idea that like your resume is generally super targeted for that role you're applying for, and your LinkedIn profile is targeted, but it's a little more broad,
yes,
broadly targeted to like that industry or the market.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, they're unquestionably two different things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, your resume, you know, I think it's a living, breathing thing, right? It mm-hmm. is, there's no such thing as a one size fits all, right? I think a person that is in a job search should have their master resume, if you will. So if you don't have it, I recommend a person do this. They write out everything, every little nick and cranny of experience that they've had in their entire career. It doesn't matter if it's 1 year or if it's a decade or two, put everything. Doesn't matter if it is mm-hmm. a 5-page, 10-page resume, you're not going to use that as a resume to present to companies. But what you can essentially do is, you know, take all the applicable parts. So you look at a position on LinkedIn or Indeed or what have you, and you know that your experience fits the majority of what they're looking for. What we're going to do is you're going to reference your master resume, and you're going to take those parts and you're going to input that into the resume that you want to submit, right? So I think a person should do that. It's a good practice to do that because sometimes people even forget some of the things that they've done in the past. Right. So have a master resume that you could work off of, because whenever you're submitting your application, it does have to be specific to what, you know, what the role is. And so if you just try to just send the same resume to 5 or 6 different companies, you know, for, let's say, a similar role, that you're setting yourself up not for failure, but you're definitely not increasing the probability of success.
Yeah. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with the base resume idea. This is actually a feature that we just introduced with JobScan, is that you can set like a base resume that has everything and then just tailor it for each job that you apply for. And I think it speeds up the process a lot. And also, like you said, like people, you might forget about something, but having that master doc, it just makes the process easier, because tailoring your resume, it can take a lot of time, but it sounds like that's like when you're looking at candidates, the ones that have a more tailored resume, it gives you a better idea of how relevant their experience is for the role.
It does because you know, you have two opposite ends of the spectrum. You have some individuals that will hand you a 4-to-5-page resume. I don't mm-hmm. care if you have 20 or 30 years of experience. It should never be that long. Right. It just being honest, it should be 2 pages, maybe 3, but it should be relatively short, because, you know, with technology today, it's a lot easier for people to apply for jobs. So there is a much higher volume of positions that are coming, you know, in the direction of companies and talent acquisition professionals. And so they have potentially less time to really do a deep dive into resumes. You know, I'm not even going to tell you how much time a person can actually invest in reviewing one resume. So it really has to jump out at you. So you have to ensure that you have the right keywords, you know, that, you know, based upon what you're applying for and what you've done, those words have to really jump out at you in the first page. It has to be really well formatted, so to where it's nice and clear. I know some people are they're more design driven and what have you, mm-hmm. and they have, you know, a whole bunch of boxes on their resume. I've been doing this for a long time. Everyone has their own preferences. I like things that are just nice and clean, to where I can easily read through it and do it relatively quickly. So ensure that you're being very specific. And I know it takes time to adjust a resume for a specific role, and it, but it'll pay dividends. It'll absolutely pay dividends.
Yeah, definitely. And with the design, like I totally agree with you. Like there are some resume templates that like they look really cool and they're really, really pretty. They are, but it's just we found that the best resumes, they look boring. And I know they look boring. I'm with you on that, but it's what works, you know. So you're trying to get the job, not just have a pretty resume. So
yeah, but I think there's also a functional aspect of having a more simplistic resume with the evolution of technology. A lot of internal talent acquisition teams are leveraging technology. And the more complex in design that your resume is, then you might be hurting yourself, because if they're leveraging technology to review your details, that's going to play a factor as well. That can have a negative impact.
Exactly. Yeah. No. So on that topic, I know AI is starting to be used a little more in recruiting. We haven't reached the point where it's commonly used, but it's up and coming, like keeping track of new ATS features. AI is starting to be implemented more. Have you had any experience with that, or how AI is being used in recruiting nowadays?
Well, I know some pretty big applicant tracking systems that are out there are starting to kick out some functionality in relation to that. I believe Greenhouse, Lever, those ETSs have started to utilize those solutions. You obviously have one-off technology as well, but they're all similar in nature in their function. Right. You know, how they work is the AI system basically scans and extracts information from resumes and converting them into more of a structured data. That's why I say the more complex your resume and a design, the harder it's going to be for an AI to actually structure that data. Right. So the more simplistic it is, the better chance it's going to catch everything. Right. And then you know, in catering, this goes back to what we were saying, in catering and basically creating your resume to be very specific in terms of the position that you're applying for is crucial, especially from an AI perspective, because it's going to be looking for those keywords, right? It's going to be looking for, you know, identifiers to basically increase, let's say, your score, because that's what it's doing. You know, through its algorithm, it is essentially scoring based upon that. And of course it'll have its own defaulted type of scores, but you know, the internal team within that organization is going to put very particular words that they're looking for. And guess what? They're usually going to be very similar in nature as to what, you know, the job description says. So ensure that you're utilizing a lot of similarities in terms of terminology, even adjectives, right? Because you can have certain personalities on a resume. And so kind of read into the job description, read into the terminology of the company's website and try to use that, right? You obviously want to write everything true as far as your experience is concerned, but you can certainly utilize the words that still demonstrate your experience, all the while being parallel to what they're looking for from a verbiage perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree. I believe that with the rise of AI, there's a lot of concern among job seekers of like, oh my God, this is a new thing that I have to worry about that's going to block me from getting a job. But really, I believe that it just makes tailoring your resume even more important. Like, we don't really need to change what we do as long as we were already doing the right things, like tailoring our resume, using the right format. If you are doing that, then the AI won't hurt you. It'll actually help to find you if you're relevant.
Definitely. I think if you know how to, if you're kind of working the system to some degree, right? But it's you're not doing anything unethical, obviously, but what you're doing is you're utilizing what the AI is doing to your advantage. And again, this all comes down to being able to get your foot in the door. So getting the AI to basically rank you higher is going to get the attention of the talent acquisition team to review your details, which is inherently going to increase the probability of getting that first interview, because that's what it all comes down to, is getting in front of someone and getting that interview. So you want to increase the probability of that by really utilizing what the AI is doing to your advantage.
Yeah, definitely agree. Well, Alex, there's been so many insights in here. I'm sure listeners have been able to learn a lot. It sounds like you have a lot of knowledge to share on this. If people want to follow you on LinkedIn or where your company is, how can they find you?
Sure. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if you just go in and search Alex Pires, P-I-R-E-S, the name of my company is ISA. And I'm sure you can find me. I'll be under founder, head of talent acquisition.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Have a great day.